Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Very proudly broadcasting today from the 139th Airlift Wing, Missouri Air National Guard in St. Joe, Missouri, where I am looking out at C-130 Hercules cargo aircrafts. Great view to sit and look out. And we're going to talk to Mick Schaefer as he is looking for a headset. And Mick Schaefer, I'm disappointed. Just grab one of those chairs, Mick.
Okay, I'm coming.
Reach. Usually we get the chair, then we put it in.
It's been quite a process just getting to you, Seren.
Turns out, let me...
Several pat-downs, and I requested the last two, but a lot of
not true.
Just to get in here.
Not true. I do want to point out there are a lot of great opportunities for you, and that's one of the things we're doing here is, number one, letting you know, I did not even know this base was here. Before about 2 weeks ago, it is here, and it's incredible. I don't know if you'll have time for the tour today, but they will give you a tour. You should check it out. I took the tour this morning. Unbelievable. And the other aspect is if you're looking to get a career started, so many great careers that can be a part of the Air National Guard and getting your college taken care of as well. Any public school in Missouri, you can get up to 100% of full tuition. In addition to getting your guard pay and the GI Bill on top of that, some of the different career paths have enlistment bonuses of up to $20,000. Health insurance, $46 a month. Great health insurance. Great retirement possibilities as well. Basically, it's over $100,000 that you can be signing up for when you walk through the door, plus get a great career to be a part of and be a part of these folks. Look, I mentioned it. I've talked to a lot of the brave men and women here this morning and today. And you're cut from a different cloth, and you will know if you're cut from that cloth when you talk with these men and women. And if you're one of those people, it's right here in St. Joe. If you're in and around the area, you can be working, training right here in St. Joe, and it's just a great, great spot. And thanks so much to everybody who brought us around and have done everything and said hello to us and shown us the ropes. Mick Schaefer has made it through security. And I'll ask you, that's what I said. I don't know if I said it on the air, but I said it to a couple of the guys here. Like, you know where you're going. I told you, hey, it's Air Force Base is what it is. But it really becomes real when you go to the checkpoint and the guy with the big gun and all the clips of extra ammunition strapped to his bulletproof vest steps forward. Then you're like, yeah, this is real. This is the real deal.
And then they take your ID for about 5 minutes. And for the first 3 minutes, like, I'm nothing wrong. I'm a good, upstanding citizen. But in the last 2 minutes, you're like, I've done something wrong. What was it? I'm a criminal, and this is the end for me. So, yeah. Well, and there's about 100 buildings out here over this large area. You talked about how big it is. And you want to know the directions I got from Fast Talking Rob? Rosencrantz Memorial Airport. That's it. That's all I got. So I got out here, and I've been driving for 5-10 minutes, and so I'm cursing Fast Talkin's.
But you never did have to double back, right? If you just kept going, and eventually you run into it.
Well, no, I didn't know which building it was. I didn't know I was supposed to go to a checkpoint. There's no checkpoint.
Well, you had to know all the buildings that have barbed wire.
Well, he said airport, though. We're probably not in the airport part, right?
The airport part is right down there. It's a very small airport, but that direction is the airport. The tarmac is largely dominated by the Air Force.
I saw the checkpoint first, and you just naturally like, I don't want to go through that. Hopefully, it's over. I can just drive right up. One of those bases where you can just drive right up,
walk right in.
Yeah, I want to go to one of those Air Force bases.
No, but that to me, so that was like the first. This is real.
Yeah,
this is a real military installation, and you have not had a chance to take a tour. And I don't know if you'll have time today, but going out and seeing these planes, unbelievable.
Well, I was right next to – I was trying to find you, and I texted, I'm right next to a chopper that just landed.
A Black Hawk helicopter.
Yes, it's a Black Hawk, which I've actually been up in, and that's an amazing experience. I'm like, the propeller's still going. Are you close to? Are you close to? I tried to turn up the radio to hear if I could listen, hear the propeller through your broadcast. But no, I got in, and no,
we're in a fancy conference room that looks out at the airfield, basically. Two things are going to happen. They're going to be doing a drop out here, so they'll be dropping stuff, and it'll parachute down. Basically,
oh, it's a great view here.
On the other, yeah, that's right. On the other side of like where you see that orange and white pole, out over there is like their practice drop zone. So they will be dropping things out of one of the planes.
Like humans or down.
Maybe.
Have you ever jumped out of a plane?
I have not.
Done it once. Just bucket list. Just got off. I don't need a. I'm not a thrill seeker, but
not going to do it again.
No, I mean I would, but it was an experience. I won't seek it out, but I was in position two, and I did. I had somebody strapped to my back, so that helped. That an helps. Experienced person strapped to my back. Yeah. I remember they had the shootout, and you know you have to pack your chute. You have to roll it up a certain way, and they asked me, they're like, "Do you want to pack your own chute?"
No,
hell no. What is wrong with you? Why would you ask that question? If you saw me pack for a weekend in Caldwell, Kansas, right? I mean, would you say, no, this guy is going to kill himself.
Not so qualified.
Did not pack my own chute.
Good.
That's why I'm still here today.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, they showed me how they would jump out of the plane. Like two different ways. You can go out the back or you can go out the sides.
Yeah.
And so they showed me the lift that comes down and everything. I got to sit in the cockpit.
You did?
I did.
You did the simulator too, huh?
And I did the simulator. And they're like, well, we would have walked away. You know, you took out all the
limped away, maybe.
Yeah, all the landing lights over there. We would have walked away. But I was only doing the wheel, and he was grabbing it.
Sure,
and actually,
yeah.
You know, Colonel Cluck was grabbing it and actually fixing some things. And he was doing all the pedals.
You had the Chuck E. Cheese version of the simulator.
I did, yes. He was doing all the pedals. We took off from a base in Connecticut and went out. Burned a U, came back in, set it down on the simulator. And, it's amazing. I think I counted 28 different screens that go into
that
making the simulator. And
it's like one of your favorite sports bars, right?
It is, yeah.
28 different screens.
Yeah, yeah. All packed into a tiny cockpit.
Yeah.
And just it talked about the difference, like, you know, hey, if we're going on a short mission and we can take heavier stuff because we don't load up with all the 50,000 pounds of fuel, we'll take less fuel and all the different things, and all the places these planes have been since 1954. These C-130 Hercules have been serving the military, and they continue to retrofit them and upgrade the engines and the propellers and the electronics and things like that. But their plan is another 30 to 35-year service for those planes. That would be a 100-year-old plane.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And just first of all, the mass of metal, right, that gets up in the air. And just all you talk about the 28 screens and all the technology that is in place. But then sometimes it comes down to simple math of don't bring too much crap on the plane, right?
It does.
Okay? Don't pack too much stuff.
Yes.
You better carry that one, okay? Make sure you figured out how many bags you got on there. Otherwise, things won't go well.
With a good tailwind and empty, it can do Honolulu to here.
Jeez.
Loaded up, not so much. He said what it's really best at is – there are some other planes that will, or the different ways that they get something, let's call it incontinent, right?
Okay.
And then they go from what they do a lot of is they'll go from the central point and take it out to all the in particular spots.
Sure.
And so he said, you know, he called it a great 4-hour drop vehicle. That's like the bulk of their work. And so like in Iraq, there would be a central housing point for all the equipment, everything, and then it had to be taken out to the different battle points, and they would take it out to the different battle points, drop it, or land, roll it out, depending upon what it was that they were taking.
You know who you need here is Mitch Holthus.
I
mean, he can tell you everything about this place, everything about that plane, everything about that Blackhawk without having to turn around and look at it or read off a manual. Like that guy knows his branches, knows his rankings, knows his equipment, knows his military.
And we talked about that. Tomorrow's Military Appreciation Day over there, and nobody does a finer job of appreciating that military job, and he is. He's a history buff and job of recognizing our military folks. So I know he'd say, well, it's not about me, it's about them, and I agree. But he does. Mitch has always done a great job of shining the light on the great work that these military folks do, and they are just amazing. I mentioned. So how's this? Well, give me your last bad day and what made it a bad day.
For me?
Yeah. Like I had a rough afternoon yesterday.
Right. I think I know where you're going with this.
30-minute delay.
Yeah.
on 29 going back to town.
Yeah.
Because I went over and scouted my broadcast point for the eclipse next week and tried to find some routes.
Sure.
Around town routes to stay off the interstate. So I did a little recon in the spirit of where we're at here at the military base. And so my rough day was there was a problem on the highway, and it was down to one lane. So I had about a 30-minute delay on the way home.
Yeah.
So that made it a rough afternoon.
Mine's going to be along the lines of my kids struck out a couple times, right, on a Sunday in a big youth game or something like that. It really is.
After you'd wagered the other, team. Yeah.
No, trust me, I know my kids. I always bet on the other team. I'm the opposite of Pete Rose. I'm Reed Pose.
Yes.
But it's along those lines. No, and I realize that, and I appreciate that. And these guys have real-life bad days.
I don't know if I don't want to attach names or whatever. And I mean, I'm quite confident I was given no confidential, information, right?
It's not like last week when I was on the show and we were watching a workout of the Chiefs field. We shouldn't have been watching. Nothing happened.
Yes,
there.
Yes.
A little more higher up.
Higher
than
up. No one was wearing a vest with clips with bullets in them.
A little higher level of clearance than
yes.
We're working out a couple undrafted free agents. For a very minor position for a minor game that means nothing
that will
in sports.
That will definitively be cut for sure.
Right. Good.
Right?
What time is it?
Yes. No, this is a little bit more more of a big deal. Anyway, the bad day, he was joking about it. He's like, yeah, if this happens, well, you're having a bad day. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, a plane can't fly with that. I go, well, that's more than a bad – but that's – the attitude that he carries to it, the reality of, by the way, in the simulator, they were shooting at me.
Nice.
And I still brought it down, which I didn't get why they were shooting at me from my own base I just took off from. But maybe they knew something that the rest
maybe
of the guys
Red
didn't.
Dawn's happening.
Yes.
Red Dawn's happening. Or what I learned from Iron Eagle is that there's a little target, right, on your screen, and whenever it turns red, they've got lock on you.
Right.
Or you've got lock on them, and then that's when you need to do the barrel roll or whatever.
Very
that's,
good.
That, I'm sure that's exactly how it translates into real life.
So, this gentleman, I said, well, how many times have you been fired at? He said, oh, four or five, Brought it home with holes was what he said. I'm like, wow. And I said, well, so what he goes, well, you can lose two engines.
Yeah.
He said, out of four.
Yeah.
There's four of them. He said, you can lose two. He said, I'm one of about 30 guys that have probably brought one home on two engines. I was like, well, that's a bad day. And he goes, and he was telling me this. He said, well, we lost the two on the left, which is probably the worst two to lose. And he tried to explain to me why those are the worst two to lose, and I don't know, and I don't get it. I couldn't follow.
The two on
saying.
The left are worse
but,
than the two.
So we had to. You have to turn them off. Obviously, you shut them down and put the fire. They put some fire stuff on it so they don't blow out. But when you shut that down, there's no turning them back on, and that also houses your landing gear.
Yeah.
So as he was going to shut them down, one of the guy, the flight engineer, that's not the right name for him, but the guy who sits right behind the two pilots, is like, whoa, 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 put the landing gear down first. Because that's how he'd put it down.
Belly flop.
And he goes, so I said, yeah, boy, I'm good catch. That could have been a bad day. Like, the plane is on fire. The engines aren't working. And as a team, the one guy, this is the checks and systems that are there, says, well, make sure you get the landing gear down. And he's like, boy, that could have been a bad day.
Yeah.
Well, I think it already sucked. When you're on two engines and bringing the thing down, that constitutes a bad day.
What do you do? And these guys are so much different than me in that they're probably very stone-faced in all of it. But what do you do after that? Do you land on the ground, you're safe, you've been, your life's flashed before your eyes probably,
right.
You're counting your lucky stars. What happens after that? You go home, just big old bottle of scotch, and you just pop your feet up and just tell everybody around, don't talk to me, I'm just gonna sit here.
I need a couple days.
I'm going to sit for a while, yes. Give me a couple days, I'll get back, but right now I'm not there.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing, and so we're doing the simulator, and he said, we can take it all the way down to one engine. I'm like, can it go on one engine? He said, no, on one engine, you're going to land. You can control somewhat where you're going to land, but you're going to land.
Well, yeah.
It's coming down, and it's coming down quickly. You've got a little bit that you can try to pick your spot on the way down. And I was just like, wow. I mean, just unbelievable to think about what all is going on. So
no, it makes me scoff at whenever my 14-year-old is now driving with a learner's permit, in the car with him going to Walmart, traveling 25 miles an hour. Maybe other people have a little more rough, yeah. Although they haven't met my 14-year-old.
Yes. But an incredible place. Great to see all these planes out
here. I didn't know.
Didn't know.
Here. I probably know painfully little about St. Joe for as much as I've been up here. It's always on the belt or at the college.
Yeah. And I don't know how long you've been broadcasting. Not quite as long as me.
19 illustrious years.
24 for me.
That makes sense. You're about 15, 20 years older than me.
That's right. That's right. As far as you know, as far as we look, that's probably true. I said, Super Bowls, Final Four, stadiums, parking lots, buses, vans, buildings of all kinds, businesses of all kinds. First time on a military base. Pretty cool. Yeah. Good day. Today's a good day.
Very good day. Our buddy Trez Paler has said it many times. It's just sports, what we do. You know, yeah. Whenever it's getting all serious and upset and, stuff that we, think is serious and huge and big. It's just sports. This is real life right here.
Yeah, that's an important thing to keep in mind. All right, so you've been up in a Blackhawk?
Yeah, with a camera. I was sick as a dog when I got there. I'm like, when I go out on Table Rock on a pontoon boat, I got to take the Dramamine, right? I'll feel it,
right?
No matter what. So, and I didn't, and so I was at Topeka, at Forbes Field. Okay. I was shooting news and sports at the time. It was like my year. They brought us in, a reporter and myself, and actually the reporter didn't get to go. I got it on, and I got to shoot while up in a Blackhawk with night vision goggles on. It's the middle of the night. It's like midnight.
Oh my God.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Not as cool when you think I'm going to hurl all over this Blackhawk. And that was maybe the most athletic thing I ever did was holding that down. But getting down that was, I recommend it, especially at night.
Yeah, wow, very cool. Very cool. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk about the Chiefs here. Mick Schaefer is with us here on the program. Helps if I turn on the microphone. For you guys, it helps when you turn on the props, right, on the plane. The engines are important, flaps, things like that. Me, it's the mic. It's this button here. It's all riding on this button. Similar pressure and stress level, as you might imagine, sir, as we're talking about getting all the instructions or the layout on how retirement's going to happen. I don't think I mentioned this. Gentleman, 37 years, 7 months, 2 days. And his last flight is today, and he's retiring today.
You're kidding.
And so,
why do you have me on the radio then? Bring him on.
Well, he's got to go take his last flight. He's working right now, and he's going to do the drop. That'll be the one dropping stuff out there. So, and then his retirement coming. So that should be around in the 1 o'clock hour.
Nice.
So looking forward to that. Yes, Mick Schaefer is with us. He's a spectator as we're at the 139th Airlift Wing of the Missouri Air National Guard. If you would like to join the Guard, 816-236-3620. I'll look him up on Twitter, at Mo Air Guard, the 139th Air Wing. That has all kinds of great job careers for you. Check it out. I certainly invite you to. Great men and women here. You can join, say, team, because that's really what it is. America's military is the greatest team that's out there. 1,200 airmen that work here, and it is a great opportunity for you to get your education at any of the Missouri colleges. And get a great career and a great pension, as this gentleman will have great benefits as well here at the Missouri Air National Guard in St. Joe. And later today, as I understand it, Mick Schaefer is going to fly a C-130.
Yep, they're going to get me up there. I figure, I got that zero-turn mower at the house. How much different can it be?
Okay. Looking forward to that. That should be good.
Yes.
That should be
signing
good.
Off for the last time, last broadcast.
All right, we got one more practice up there at St. Joe. So what are your takeaways from the camp time?
Glad there's only one more practice. Our guys, and I've only been to a handful, but our guys, D. Jackson and Ryan Marshall, have been up here every day, getting up and coming here, often working nights as well. So yeoman's effort on their part. So I'm ready for it to be just down the street at in Kansas City. I've said for the longest time I would like it more. I don't know how they feel. But me personally, I like it more at a destination in a River Falls or just at home in Kansas City. The back and forth kind of gets
I don't mind
tiring.
I guess maybe I've just become used to it. I certainly missed River Falls at first.
You guys stay up here some, though, right?
Sometimes we do.
Yeah. Ours never an option. It's just up an hour, back an hour.
That's real life for people in America's bigger cities.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not for you?
Well, no, it's not, especially when I'm driving home half hour after that. So no.
See, but I think it's great for the community like this. This is a great...
It's terrific for the community. The Chiefs and the Eclipse have been great for St. Joe. But I cannot believe. I mean, I guess it's a huge event, and I'm learning more about it. But, I mean, this is like the World's Fair coming to town.
About over 4,000 are going to be down.
What are they
going to
be doing
runway?
Here? Yeah, probably so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Figured.
I was listening to the guys talk about what their plan is on getting to work Monday.
Oh, really?
What time they're all getting here. How many of them are sleeping here?
There's
here
all the signs on the road on I-29 talking about all the expect heavy delays on Monday. 41's going live for 2 hours from like noon to 2 for it all. Sports teams are doing big things. My parents, my dad is an awful lot like Mitch Holtis, big on history, big on the military. He's been to every major battle site of the Civil War up to 1864. 19, that'd be amazing for this little for the war. So
there's some at KU and MU that haven't
yeah,
ended up yet.
64 and 65. So he found a battle site around here, not a major one. I think is it Lexington? And so he wants to see the eclipse on a battle site. Sure enough, they're doing something there. So he's driving up this weekend, not to see his son or his grandkids or anything, but to be on a battle site for the eclipse. And so it's huge. It's amazing. And then, I mean, it's going to be hopefully – great for the economy around here.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of tourists turn it into Branson for a day or something like that.
So what is your to get back to Chiefs,
yeah.
what is your camp takeaway?
I think my camp takeaway is more just takeaways that I had from Friday night. I think a lot of good things, especially with a lot of the young guys. I think they showed well. I think so much of this team is kind of, you know, they are what we thought they are. To where the real question marks have to do with these young guys and which ones can step up. I think Pat Mahomes showed great. We've obviously talked a lot about him. Kareem Hunt, nobody ran the ball well Friday night. You know, Spiller, Ware had moments. He scored a touchdown, but that was, what, 2 or 3 yards out. He looked good catching the ball out of the backfield. Had a few catches there. So the fact that Hunt didn't really show up much on offense, I'm fine with. Loved his hustle on 3 special teams plays, all punts, I believe. And so I liked what we had isolation cameras on, Passanio, a couple good rushes from him, other guys as well. So my takeaway is more from Friday night's game, mainly because I saw all of it multiple times, than it is camp.
Take me through the scenario. So what you've seen here. Team goes 14-2 and is the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
Why? What happened? How'd they get better? I want to give you the flip side. After
so
that.
I would say, I mean, you start defensively, it's a team that, okay, last year was really good right in the red zone, right? Between the 20s, they were getting gashed, weren't stopping the run. This is a team that, okay, instead of allowing – 1 touchdown and 3 field goals in a game cuts that down to a touchdown and a field goal just because the run defense gets better. Offensively, it's a team that doesn't sputter out in the red zone. It's basically the exact opposite. It's felt like this is an offense. Once they get inside the 30, once they get inside the 25, it's protect the 3. It's not let's go get 6. It's let's protect the 3. And I think that hurts them. And I would like to see that mentality change. I don't know if it will. You know, might have to be personnel change. Who knows? Might have to be a different coaching staff to change that philosophy. But maybe those are the two things. You know, red zone for the offense, different mentality, and then, you know, between the 20s for the defense. Let's have some shorter possessions. Let's get some 3-and-outs. Not give up a 50-yard drive. Yeah, we held them to 3. They got inside the 10, but that's still 3, and we were on the field for a long time. Top head answers.
Flip it around. 6-10, 5-11. What happened?
Well, we talked about this a little bit last week. I mean, that's the wash. That's, you know, the ball bounces a couple ways.
Well, let's take it down to 5-11, 4-12. Pass the wash.
Okay, pass the wash.
How does it just bottom out?
That's gonna be injuries for me. Okay. Big injuries. Maybe it's defense. Maybe it's offensive line. Right? You know, it's what's been a decent offensive line, not great, but you have major injuries there, and they can't fill the holes, and all of a sudden everything goes to crap with the passing game, with the running game. I think they could survive a skill position injury or two. Maybe Tyreek Hill goes down, and all of a sudden, you know, there's no option out there. Or maybe it's Alex Smith and Pat Mahomes just isn't ready. He comes in and can, you know, in his stead and can throw 15 touchdown passes, but he's also throwing 20 interceptions. Maybe that's it.
Just to repeat last year, what's the injury they can't handle? Like, who can't go down?
Who can't go down? Sorry. Number one guy who can't go down. It might be Smith for as much as maybe we think he can't take them to that penultimate level. He is a guy that protects you, I mm-hmm. think, from the 5-win season.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? So maybe that's it to where, I mean, he's a Band-Aid, but a Band-Aid serves
it's
purpose,
Smith,
right?
It's if Mahomes isn't
ready,
as
maybe.
Good
yeah.
or better.
Because I would say if you at the end of the year, if you told me that the Chiefs backup quarterback situation is the worst it's been in the Andy Reid era, I would believe that. And then you have veterans like a Chase Daniel, like a Nick Foles, guys that can come in and they can
on paper
put their finger
that.
In the dike, right? You know, make sure the we'll flood the boat.
The math on the paper would tell you that. Would have said the same thing about Dallas last year, and they were scrambling around when it was going to be Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And turns out they were in better hands.
And that doesn't say I think that's where it's going to go with Mahomes. But
no.
I think that's it's an
yes.
option, and it wouldn't be the end of the world. Oh, my gosh, a rookie quarterback's coming in, and he's not able to win 10 games. That's not the end of the world. That doesn't mean it's a bad draft pick. That's just that's happened more times than a Dak Prescott
sure.
than a Russell Wilson, right?
I would go I think there's two guys. I think one of them, Smith, if Mahomes isn't ready. And I mean only Mahomes because I don't see it with Bray. It ain't going to work with Bray. I've seen enough of that. I thought it was interesting. Cody's kind of floating the idea that Joel Staube is going to make it and Bray's not.
I would agree with that. You could save some money, right? What's it? You know better.
It's about a million.
About a million with him. And I would say, yeah, if Bray's not your backup, I don't know why you would keep him as your third. And we made all the Joel Staube jokes, but I could see that coming to fruition because and I came away with Friday night not hating what Bray did. You know, he had the pick, but you know,
he had the big touchdown call back.
He had big cut,
would have looked
a couple
different.
Good balls to Conley. You know, Mahomes threw a bad ball over middle similar to Bray that didn't get picked off. So I didn't come away hating it, but at the end of the day, and I'm sure he has a better grasp right now of the offense than Mahomes. At the end of the day, he's taken as many regular season snaps as Patrick Mahomes. So, I mean, it made sense to make him number two, and it would make sense if you cut him as well.
I think there's the quarterback spot, and then I think it's Marcus Peters. It's the one guy that the team over the last couple of years hadn't had to play without.
Sure.
Those are the potential ones. But I think they're almost, you know, you say this, I'll knock on this wood table here. Are they 4-win proof? I guess the roster just too good. They've lost Houston. We before Houston went down a couple years ago, we told you they can't lose Houston. You know, there are a number of other guys, and they've lost them all, it seems like, and still keep winning. So are they deep enough and diverse enough that they are
and well coached enough too?
And well coached enough, absolutely.
I would be very surprised even if Mahomes comes in and is mediocre to below average, and maybe even bad, I would still be surprised at 4 or 5 wins. To all those things you just said, to the talent around them, to, you know, if it is the quarterback, the defense, and to the coaching, to where, you know, these guys, Andy Reid, Bob Sutton, a lot of these guys have been through those scenarios before, and they know how to coach guys up, they know how to game plan, they know how to scheme, they know how to win games maybe that they shouldn't. We talked about it last week. I think they're very, you know, Andy Reid is a very good close game coach, very comfortable in that. Maybe I maintain sometimes he'll create that close game, but when he's there, I think he does a very good job. So I would be, even with a semi-bad Mahomes, and if he had to take over the bulk of the season, I'd still be surprised at 4 or 5 wins.
I think this might – I don't want to say it's a make-or-break year for Bob Sutton, but I think it's an important year because last year, while points-wise they did well, the numbers didn't add up to them being as good as they were.
Yeah,
they got turnovers at some key times. You know, the Jets, how many of them were in the end zone against the Jets? And they didn't really finish the Jets till 6 or 7 minutes to go in the game. I mean, the Jets were kind of maybe I'd have to go back and look at it. Jets were kind of hanging around there. But they got to do a better job of just beating some people up.
Well, if this is
they are the epitome of bend but don't break.
Yeah. Well, and that's this is a team that plays complimentary football, right?
Yeah.
That's not the type of defense you want to play if this is your offense. I don't think that bodes well complimentary football. Play this way offensively, rely on field goals, rely on time of possession. Well, your defense needs to get off the field more and not be a defense that just allows field goals. And
is Andy Reid grossly underrated, though, in his ability to win close games? I would say yes.
Grossly underrated, but yeah, I think underrated. I mean,
well, I think when you
he takes a lot of slings and arrows, but and a lot of it rightfully so.
Well, what tools does he bring into the fight? And then how many times when it's close does he win the fight?
I would say a 75% clip or something like that in those. And I don't know. That's just kind of a feel. Curtis is here. Give him 2 minutes. He could probably come up with a stat on
some
that.
Some kind of quantitative.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm going to give you, like, last year alone, just in the 2000.
What are we going to call a close game? Three or just one score? One score games.
How about one score?
One score games, yeah.
So, one score games.
I could think of two that he lost that he shouldn't have lost. You would say, I would say, what, Buccaneers and Titans, both home games. Both kind of like 20-17 type games.
1917, like he lost to the Titans. And the Bucs, he lost 1917.
Both 1917.
One score. Is it a one-score game, 7 or 8?
Let's go 7. Let's go 7, even though 8 is, obviously.
One that beat the Chargers in the opener.
By a score?
33-27 in OT.
Okay, yes.
Okay. Beat the Texans, 19-12. Or no. Lost
to the Texans. Okay. 19-12?
Yes.
Okay.
Beat the Jets, 24-3. Lost to the Steelers, 43-14. Beat the Raiders, 26-10.
So it's still 1-1 so far.
Right. Beat the Saints 27-21. Beat the Colts by 16. Beat the Jags by 5.
Okay. With backup quarterback.
Beat the Panthers by 3.
Yep.
Lost to the Bucks by 2.
4-2.
Won at Denver by 3.
5-2.
Won Atlanta by 1.
6-2.
Beat the Raiders by 8.
We're going to call it. You want to call that or no? Where was it at? Was it on the road?
No, that one was at home.
It was at home. Not count it.
Not count it. Lost to the Titans by 2.
That's a big victory in the NFL. 8-8. They lost to who?
Titans by 2.
Okay, yeah.
Beat the Broncos by 23. And then beat the Chargers by 10.
Okay.
So regular season, what's that total?
6-3, 7-3 if you count the Raiders. Okay. So what I say about 75%, so maybe a little
bit. And then lost by 2 to the Steelers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think the comeback against Denver, the win in Atlanta, and the comeback against the Chargers in the opener. I haven't seen a coach do that in this town.
Yeah.
Dick Vermeil didn't come back like that. They either just pummeled you, boat raced you, and stayed out in front the whole way. Todd Haley didn't come back, what, maybe one?
Yeah.
At New Orleans, the Jamal Charles goes off game. There's probably a couple more.
And that's not
there.
Even him, I don't think. That's Romeo Crennel, right? That at Saints game?
Was it?
Yeah, I think that was Romeo's 1 year.
Yeah. Well, and I'd offer up two on each side. I would say the game in Atlanta and the game in Denver, most coaches would have lost that game, right? The close games on the road that they somehow, it's that Atlanta game, somehow pulled out of their hat. Granted, it's Eric Berry making a freak pick two play, but hey, it goes on Andy Reid's record. Those, I don't think most coaches would win, but I would offer up two on the other side to where they maybe played around with that close game and loss, the Buccaneers and the Titans at home.
Yeah, the Buccaneers and Titans, to me, that's the difference between them and the Patriots.
Yeah.
Is they don't lose those games.
Yep.
if they're flat, they still find a way to get it done, or they don't come flat.
Yeah.
You know, it was about the Titans or Bucks rising up. Then the Pats don't come flat, and they win those games. That's the thing that I see there. We're talking to Mick Schaefer from 41. We're live at the 139th Airlift Wing, Missouri Air National Guard. You can get your career started here. 816-236-3620. That's 816-236-3620. You can find them on Facebook at Mo Air Guard. Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. 4 minutes. You're on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mick Schaefer is with us from 41 Action News, sports director. Over there.
I could do some Schaefer bets if you wanted to fill time.
What do you got? Go ahead.
Ready?
Big talker, yeah.
Ready, yeah. I didn't think you'd go for it. I asked after Friday night's game, when will Mahomes overtake Bray? Next week, end of preseason, early regular season, next offseason.
And it's already happened.
It did. What do you think people guessed, though?
Didn't you have it on Sunday Sound Off?
I did. I don't know if you're paying attention.
It's 38. It was a tie. It was 38%.
Wow.
And they said
the percentage.
They said next week. So you gave them credit for it.
I did. End of preseason, which I would have gone with. Which inactive from last night's game concerns you the most from Friday's game? Travis Kelce, Eric Berry, Benny Logan, Cairo Santos?
Benny Logan. Kelce won.
Yes.
Kelce won.
Yes.
I know the answer.
Yes.
But Benny Logan would be my answer.
Yep. He was last.
Yeah. Well, then that's wrong because they got to get better against the run. They get no better if they can't get other teams off the field. Like, I think their bend but don't break needs to be a little bit more kick butt.
Yeah.
This year.
That's one of my least favorite cliches, too, bend but don't break.
But it's fine. It's fair. It's accurate. But if they're going to take the next step, like, I think the offense can only get so much better. The defense, if everybody's healthy, Justin Houston's out there, Chris Jones is out there, Passanio is making a lot of waves right now about how they're playing him at linebacker, for God's sake, at 6'7 and 290 pounds. I think the secondary's finally got some experience under its belt and has some obviously really good pieces in Berry and Marcus Peters and Ron Parker and Daniel Sorensen. I think there's every reason to believe if they're healthy, they need to be a top-five defense. And if they're top-five, then they're in play to win a Super Bowl.
Agreed. What were they last year?
Number 7 points, like 24 Wait. Yards.
Yeah. It was so, yeah.
Maybe even 27.
It was, yeah, it was such a drastic difference. All right, so, and then your favorite obscure school represented by a current obscure chief, Southwestern Oklahoma State, Trevon Hartfield. I think he was the guy that fell down on the touchdown.
Okay.
Valdosta State, Shontavious Jones. Carroll College in Montana, NAI, Josh James. Or Montana State, Mike Person, backup O-lineman. I think we all knew that.
Montana State's been a pretty big program for a while. Valdosta State's been a pretty big program. I'm going to take Carroll. I've never even heard of it.
Carroll, last place. Again. Oh, Valdosta State won because Shontavious
Jones. Valdosta State won. Yes, because they like him. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I was answering for me.
Yes.
What's next?
You've seen this one already, but who will Mike Moustakas break the Royals' home run record against? It's the White Sox last week. A's this week. Indians over the weekend. Rockies or later?
Indians.
Indians won. I'm thinking maybe Rockies or later. Maybe it's going to be do three then. You'd have to do three this week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's a safe bet. Going Rockies or later.
Safe bet. Safe bet.
Well, you love that safe bet thing, don't you?
It was the best of all the bad ideas I got for this little thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's not like nothing to do with Mick.
Nah, it rhymes.
By the way, is it Mike or Michael?
It's Joseph Michael. Thanks for outing me. Yeah.
Mick. And you get Mick with that.
Mix.
Yeah. Okay.
A mix bag, M-I-C-K-S.
Super work, Whataburger. Don't get shot on your way out of here.
Try not to. Head down.